keep your sense of the wondrous or of the magical close to you. Hold it close to your heart. Envision it on the earth, on the planet with you. Envision it in your room with your pet cat, as you go outside for a walk or as you're going to the coffee shop. When we feel that our spirituality, that our sense of the wondrous, of the divine, of the magical, of the connected, when we feel like that is here embodied with us as we are embodied, then that's going to affect the way that we make decisions and how we relate to other people. And so welcome to the second show in my series, Religion is Broken. And this time we're going to talk about the G word, God. You're listening to Feathermane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. Welcome back to this episode of the Feathermane Soul Wisdom Show. Just a quick housekeeping note, if you hear a little metallic clinking in the background, those are the tags for my goofy orange office cat who has decided that he needs to plop himself on my desk and seek attention while I'm recording this podcast. And who are we to refuse our feline overlords? I'm Kit Kailstow, and I'm the host of the Feathermane Soul Wisdom Show. So in my previous Religion is Broken episode, I talked about capitalism and how capitalism and a desire for extractive growth really has kind of contributed to the overall idea that religion is broken. Well, surprise, surprise, I'm still working on my thesis. I am still diving into, although I'm pretty much finished with the books that related to Christian-based theology. But as somebody who's been very interested in embodied theology and what it means to live as a fully embodied human being, I ran across some interesting thoughts and some interesting thought experiments as I was researching my thesis. And the more I thought about them, the more I just had this big aha moment. Like, this makes complete and total sense and explains everything. Now, before I get any further, I do want to have a content warning. I will be talking about capital G God. I will also be talking about lower G gods, plural, and deities, but this is going to be a very deity-oriented show. I sure hope you join me for the entire episode. I'm hoping you're going to stick with me for that. But for those who aren't quite ready to have the God talk discussion or the God discussion, I wanted to let you know ahead of time. So one of the most common aspects of Christian theology is that God is, first of all, singular, God, capital G, and that God lives out there. We can point to the sky and say the heavens, but it's not really the blue sky that we know of, because, of course, that's created by our atmosphere. It's not really the stars and the nebulas and all the cool things that you can see with the telescope. It's beyond all that. Out there, there's a realm. There's a heavenly realm. And that's where God lives. And that realm is where the kingdom of God comes from. Now, depending on your denomination and depending on how close of a reading your denomination chooses to give the Bible, the kingdom of God is either out there with God, somewhere beyond the stars and the sky that we can see, or the kingdom of God will be on earth after a cleansing and after a period of time. This show is way too short for me to go into eschatology, which is the study of apocalypses or the end of the world. But suffice to say, neither one of those options presents God right here, right now on the planet with us. Now, you might say, wait a minute, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit isn't capital G God. And here is where religion is broken. Because think about it. If you are living your life and you're believing that your final reward is not here on this planet right now, and your final reward isn't something that's going to come about in your lifetime. And again, we could completely talk about eschatology and how the first century Christians really thought that the kingdom of God was going to come about in their lifetime, right there on the ground that they were walking on. There's a whole lot of stuff that's happened since then, theologically and eschatologically. That's kind of a fun word to say. But if your reward is not right here in the world that we are living in, with cars and the internet and social media and cats and dogs and horses and elephants and the rainforest and whales and dolphins and weird little fish at the bottom of the ocean with like big eyes and big teeth. If your future isn't here, then are you really going to care about here? Or are you going to only care about that future far-off reward somewhere else, but it's not on the planet Earth and you'll not be there and so it's not your problem? Now, I want to stop. There are many, many flavors of Christianity that work in what we call a liberatory vein, that work to uplift the marginalized, heal the sick, feed the hungry, uplift the poor. There's a lot of great work being done among certain denominations and certain individuals. I could think of several off the top of my head. So again, I want to stop and say that this is all an extremely nuanced conversation. And I am simply speaking about one particular worldview in what is actually an extremely diverse religion. But this one particular worldview tends to dominate a lot of what many of us think about when we think about American Christianity. The other half of this is not a gotcha to Christianity. This is not a, you know, one religion is better than the other. This is simply talking about a way of thinking of God and how if you are thinking of God as a being that is somewhere beyond this planet, beyond our comprehension. In fact, there is a verse, I believe it's in Exodus, that talks about how we can only see God's back, that we can't even see his face, his front, his entire form, whatever form that takes, that we can only see one side of that, and that side happens to be his back. So that's kind of a big worldview. So I just kind of want to take a step back, and I just kind of want to say that the worldview that I am discussing is that the almighty, awesome power of God is not here on this planet, according to the people who believe it, okay? So what's the flip side of that? The flip side of that actually comes from an environmental theology, a embodied theology, and it also comes from a lot of other religions. One of my joys as a religious scholar is learning about other religions and other worldviews and other ways of looking at things and just learning about other philosophies. So the flip side to that, and we could see this, for example, in paganism, which happens to be my religion. We can see this in a lot of pantheist religions where that divine essence, even if it doesn't have a name, where the earth is divine, everything on the planet is divine, we're divine, where the gods walk among us. If you read Greek mythology, a lot of the Greek myths don't take place in some strange far-off realm. They take place on the road to Athens. They take place, you know, in various, I don't know if Greek has states or provinces, and I am not up on my history, but they take place in places where you could point to on a map. And I think there's a much different relationship you have with divinity when the divinity or the divine essence, or again, that sense of wonder, that sense of magic, where that is not something that we need to reach for or aspire for because it can't be found among humanity. But rather, it's something that we live with and something that can be imbued and embodied in the most mundane actions of our daily lives. And I think that changes your worldview to some extent. Because if you believe that the planet is divine, if you believe that you have a kinship, divine connection with the planet, with other people, with the plants, with the animals, you're just going to feel differently about them than if you just believe that everything physical or fleshy is sinful and bad. And again, the show isn't long enough for me to go into dualisms and hierarchies, and I've got some ideas for future episodes that kind of expand upon this. But this kind of goes back to mind-body dualism and dualisms that existed in ancient Greek thought between the spirit and the body. And these dualisms, to some extent, exist in other cultures as well. When you think about Indian philosophy or yoga, there's the difference between matter and spirit. And those differences are slight. The differences are very distinct between, say, like Western ancient Greek thought about matter and spirit and Indian thought about matter and spirit. But yet there's some commonalities there. But when you take a very hierarchical dualism view, where one is better than the other, then what we start to see is that things not of the physical body. And in Western thought, they identify that as, you know, intellect, reason, higher mental pursuits, logic, knowledge, that is somehow better than our physical body with physical needs like eating, drinking, sleeping, and going to the bathroom. And again, some of those physical needs are not pleasant to deal with, and they're not something that, you know, that you could wave a magic wand and if you want to get rid of them, you could. I mean, you know, there are some people I'm sure that would pursue whatever they want to do without the need to eat or drink, you know, just photosynthesis, food from the air, from sunlight, like a plant or something. I'm sure there's some people that would do that. But when we start to realize that everything we do in these bodies has a divine nature, that this cup of coffee that has actually gone cold because I've been sipping on it most of the afternoon, that, you know, drinking even this cold cup of coffee has some aspect of divinity to it, that, you know, breathing is divine, sleeping can be divine, that everything we do has a purpose and that we are divine, we're going to approach our lives and approach those things we do quite differently, and I suspect a little more mindfully than people who believe that anything good and spiritual and magical and wondrous and awe-inspiring is out there and not here. And you might be thinking of some thinkers who talked about, say, like the Grand Canyon as God's handiwork. And the Grand Canyon is beautiful. I was blessed to see it way many years ago. But I remember, you know, Grand Canyon or Petrified National Forest. We took kind of a trip and did all that. And I just remember thinking how beautiful all of that was. And people, you know, will call that God's handiwork. But there's a difference between handiwork and the actual divine being itself. And again, theologians will argue over these different things and different meanings. But again, I feel like that there's a different point of view if the earth is simply filled with God's cast-offs, his byproducts, his toys, his artwork. You think about that differently. And if you think about our physical world, you know, you're going to take different actions in an art museum than you would in, say, a dump. You're going to take different actions in a sculpture gallery, you know, than you would in, say, a petting zoo. And if you believe that everything is divine, then suddenly those different actions, start to take on additional meaning. And so to me, and I'm just going to come out and say it, that I believe that if you believe that the deities are the wonder, the magic, the spirit, the connection, again, I'm using a lot of God talk in this episode, but I would like to encourage you, if you personally are not comfortable dealing with supernatural beings and with some form of divinity in your life, I want to encourage you that, again, you could substitute wonder, awe, magic for this. And if you believe that that exists here on earth, and you believe that that exists in your daily life, you know, mundane actions, putting on your socks, taking the dog for a walk, if you believe that there are divine elements to those things, you're going to approach them differently than, oh, I gotta take the dog for a walk, I hope he does his business quickly, I have things to do, rather than, I am being of service, this is a divine thing because I am helping this divine creature take care of its needs. It reciprocates with love and affection. There's a whole different level there when you really start to think about it. And so, again, I think religion, for a large part, at least here in America, is broken because religion focuses on something that the average person can't see or feel or really believes exists with them. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a piece of God, a part of God, or you can talk about, you know, the handiwork or different things, but unless you actually believe that the gods are here among us, that nature itself has some divinity, has some teachings that it can provide to us, that when we look in the eyes of another animal, whether that's an animal that we would think of like an elephant that or a dolphin or a whale that has great sentience, or whether that's the eye stalks of a crab, or whether it's a creature without any eyes from the deep ocean that's just completely beyond our imagination, that we believe that that animal has as much divinity and as much right to existence as we do, that changes everything. That changes how we approach thinking about environmentalism, that thinks about how we approach what we eat, how we treat the animals that we eat, how we treat the animals in our lives. It changes everything. And so that's kind of where I want to leave things, just to kind of think about it, is how do you view divinity? How do you view magic and wonder and things? Is it something that you could experience here on this planet, first of all? Is it something you could experience in some aspect of your daily life? You know, those moments where you're watching your favorite TV show and your cat's curled up on you and they're purring or they're making little biscuits, you know, those little moments of just comfortable pleasure, just sharing space and sharing companionship with another being. You know, are those magical moments for you? Are those moments that you cherish, or do you take them for granted? And so thinking about that, I really think works to change our relationships with ourselves. Because if we believe our body is divine, then we're going to treat our body differently than if we believe that our body is sinful or hateful or a piece of trash. And that's going to think about how we think about ourselves, how we think about other people. And so, again, I just kind of want to leave it there for today. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about that. I suspect that this may be a controversial episode. But what is your relationship to divinity, and how does that relationship affect how you think about the planet, how you think about everything else? So, you know, if you feel comfortable, drop me a comment. There's a comment form for this blog post. Don't forget to like or subscribe wherever you're hearing my voice. Thank you so much for listening, and I will hopefully come back to you on the next Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.